Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Munchcast is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com. It's time for Munchcast with Cammie Blackstone and Leo Laporte, episode 75 for March 1st, 2010. Fond of Fondue. Now sing.
It was a while before the chorus kicks in.
Okay.
Always.
I stopped the world and melt with you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, put your cheese in that pot over there. And melt with us, it's time for Munchcast with Cammie Gruyere Blackstone.
Ooh, now see, I'm already hungry. 30 seconds in.
Little Miss
Gruyere.
Little Miss Quiche 2010. I mean, Kirsch. It's Kirsch, isn't it? Hello, Cammie.
Kirsch.
Hello,
Leo.
It's time to talk fondue. I'm fond of fondue.
Oh, I love fondue. You know, I mean, hot cheese, dipping stuff in, communal pot. What could go wrong?
Actually, the one I think is really most likely to have, something go wrong is the bubbling oil pot.
Yeah.
Rickety fondue pot that's just begging for, death.
It's interesting because, fondue restaurants and fondue cookbooks kind of combine the two, but actually the cheese fondue originated in the Alpine area, the Alps.
Yes.
And then the bubbling oil, dip your meat in it, was more of a Mongolian sort of origin. But they do now all go together. And if you go to like a fondue place, like say the Melting Pot, which is a national chain, or Melt, my favorite place, which is a little tiny fondue place on Columbus Avenue in San Francisco. Well, they have both. You could get your boiling oil that stick your meat in it, or broth, or you can do the cheese.
Yeah. Cheese fondue. There's also something called raclette, which is another melting cheese.
Yeah.
Swiss kind of a thing. That's not this.
No. This is when you have the pot and you take just cheese. Usually you mix a couple of different kinds of cheeses, like a sharp cheese and then a more mellow cheese. And then one thing that is key, and the first time I made fondue, I didn't do this. You have to, after you grate the cheese, mix some flour in. And then the flour keeps it from getting too, it just makes it melt.
Really?
More
this flour sweet. In fondue?
A little bit of flour. And then you need to have wine or a kirsch, as you said. Or I've even had fondue where you put beer in it. So some kind of alcohol.
Delish.
Yeah, it is. I got inspired to do this after watching the Winter Olympics. And, it's just the Winter Olympics so cold and seeing the bobsledders and the luge. It just made me crave it. And I thought, what a great idea for Munchcast. And then
Stephen Colbert.
No.
He does what everybody thought would be a great idea. Fondue.
Made boiling
pong.
Cheese. In America, we use that to fry other cheese.
He's playing fondue pong.
What you got, Swiss?
Oh man, this is in Vancouver. Oh, he has to drink the cheese. Oh, you don't want to do that.
I do.
Do you? Just drink it straight out of the pot?
I got to chug a $30 bowl of cheese for free.
He got to chug a $30 bowl of cheese for free. That
was in the Swiss village.
Wow.
We can pause at Ireland. We don't need Ireland.
We don't need
Ireland. Another episode.
What countries do fondue? Is it Mongolians and Swiss only?
Well, the word fondue comes from the French word fondre, which means to melt.
Demet.
So, you know, in France, of course, and like the more alpine regions of France. I'm sure that they do in Italy as well in the alpine region.
I bet they do. I bet they do fondue there. Sure.
But they apparently you can date. There's a fondue recipe from Promnos. Let's see. That dates back to some scroll in Homer's Iliad, and it's the oldest record of fondue. And I don't know. But mostly, most cookbooks and most food historians believe that it really came to be created around, or more popular anyway, in the 18th century.
You know, I remember reading 18th century seafaring novels in which the captain would request toasted cheese.
Bring me some fondue.
Fondue. Well, no, see, on a boat, fondue is probably a bad idea. Too much sloshing.
Yeah.
So maybe they didn't do fondue, but they did do like they toasted cheese. And I think it's only a small, once you realize that cheese melts at a higher temperature, it's only a short step to mixing it with alcohol and putting it in a pot.
Yeah, the leap from grilled cheese sandwich to very fondue, close. Where you actually dip bread. It's sort of an inside out grilled cheese sandwich.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Although I prefer, you know, I really love, of course, toasty sourdough bread dipped in fondue and cheese. But I really like apples and pears in my cheese fondue a lot.
But wouldn't that, now aren't you just mixing the chocolate fondue with the cheese fondue? Don't you really want to dip that in chocolate? Excuse me?
You could if you like. And certainly chocolate fondue has taken on a whole new, it's been a craze. Have you seen the chocolate fondue fountains?
But those aren't really, well, I have. We actually had an event with a chocolate fountain. Is that considered fondue?
I think anytime you got something on a stick and you stick it in something that's, molten, that is fondue.
Like this, the real chocolate fountain.
Chocolate.
With the new real chocolate fountain, open up.
So you can buy this like from Hasbro.
Oh, yeah. See, look at that's fondue. They're fondueing,
baby. That's fondue it.
Dip your favorite food. Then decorate with sprinkles to your heart's delight.
Okay. Oh, this is...
Started and make chocolate snacks that will make
every kid sees this commercial and says, I want that.
Chocolate.
The real chocolate fountain. Batteries not included.
Think smart. How come none of those kids are fat? Because that's really...
I don't know. Yeah, that's amazing. I don't know. Did I send you the other YouTube link that goes with that one where people have modified their chocolate fountain?
Yeah.
To make it more fun, delicious.
Yeah. This is the cheese fountain?
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't. You can't do that on TV.
Don't say can't.
Oh. This is a same.
I've been in there for YouTube's sake, man.
They've got Velveeta. Yeah. Oh, and they put the nacho chip in there. That's nacho cheese, baby.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That's for Super Bowl party, man. That
see?
Is,
wouldn't that be spectacular? It's just nice to know that your chocolate fountain has yet another
Double use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Delish. Man, that looks good. We had a chocolate fountain for some event. I can't remember what it was. It was fun. Hey, in a related note, by the way, and we should mention this on Munchcast, it has nothing to do with fondue, but the guy who invented the Kenner Easy Bake Oven has passed.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No. You didn't see that? I was everywhere.
Yeah, I swear to God, the Olympics have thrown me for a loop. I've been like so Olympic obsessed. And in fact, right now, missing the end of the hockey game. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. They're showing luge on my screen.
Okay, it must be over. I don't know.
No, I think it's still going on. We'll get
it. I think it's probably over. I think Canada might have won.
Oh, because if they won, they got the gold. That was it, right?
And you know,
it's in overtime, 2-2.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Should we stop and watch the game?
No, because we got to go. We got to, this is, fondue is important.
Ronald Howes Sr., the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven that millions of young girls used to bake their first cookies, cupcakes, and brownies, died at the age of 83 this week. He also created printers and defense weapons.
Now that's a portfolio.
There is a portfolio. He created the Easy Bake Oven while working at Kenner in the early 60s, triggered by a comment from a salesman asking if the company should develop a toy version of the chestnut roasters seen on so many New York City street corners.
I've never, as a young girl growing up, I never said to myself, wow, I wish I had a chestnut roaster.
A home chestnut roaster. It's actually probably a good thing that they didn't come up with that.
Who was it?
Chestnuts roasting in a Kenner oven. Jack Frost nipping. But the fact that you can own
a chocolate fountain is pretty darn exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. And you know, the fact that it's adaptable to accommodate cheese as well.
Yes, so,
you know, and then
so
I think about other dippables and, you know, Fun Dips are a way, is similar
fun
to
dips.
A Fun Dip. You
That's
know, it's
the
made
candy.
By the Wonka.
It's like Lick-A-Made, right? You dip it in.
It is.
Yeah.
Fun Did dips. You know, and I know that Fun Dips, I've had them. I mean, I thought they were kind of new when I first, you know, had them 30 years ago. But I did not realize that Lick-A-Made was actually...
Oh, it was around when I was a kid.
1942.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Sure.
And now, you know, then the Willy Wonka company bought them, and now, you know, they're more popular than ever. But that's sort of like a candy fondue, you know.
Right.
You put...
Let's have a little visit with the melting pot, just so we can get the fondue moving.
All right.
What do you say?
Thanks.
Hi.
Ugh, why is there a giant fork on the wall? Wait a minute. What if I could fondue with that fork? I could fondue with four strawberries at once. Chocolate and strawberries!
What's your fondue fantasy? Fine-aged cheese fondues, steak, lobster, chicken, and shrimp, decadent chocolate fondues for dessert, and award-winning wines. The melting pot. Dip into something different.
You know, everybody has a fondue pot, though, that they got. You know, that's a classic wedding gift, isn't it? The fondue pot.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've always bought my fondue pots used because sometimes people get them for weddings and then they never
they
open them. I mean, they're,
right.
You know.
They're unused. And there's a certain bitter sadness that is exuded from this because it's usually the fondue pot is a part of the divorce settlement.
Is it?
Yes.
People battle over the fondue pots?
Yeah. So,
everything was fine until it came to the fondue pot.
Right.
That's it. Nobody gets it. We'll
Nobody gets
soon.
It. I'm taking the kids. You take the fondue pot. So it's... Yeah.
Well, you know, but the fondue pot, I think some people think of it as being sort of a difficult appliance to work with, but
no,
it's not. Actually, it's quite easy.
Yeah.
It is quite easy. And I did learn a tip when I was doing my little fondue research that when you are cooking your cheese mixture, you should always stir in a figure eight design for optimal mixing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do that. Okay. Now, when it first became like really popular in the 60s, I think people thought that it was sort of risque in a way that, you know, people were not eating with plates and forks and knives. And it was sort of like a swingers sort of food. You know, I kind of got that feeling from some of the ads that I saw. And there was a rule at one point where whoever lost their morsel in the pot had to kiss the person on their right.
Whoever lost the morsel in the pot...
So, like, if you're dipping your cheese, your bread into the cheese, and it comes off, you have to kiss the person on your right.
Really? So you want to sit, you want to be careful where you sit.
Yeah, it's kind of like a more advanced spin the bottle.
Yeah,
if the or a less advanced key bowl.
If the beef hits the oil, then you're gonna kiss the goyle, right?
You know, I am going to cross-stitch that on April 1st so that you can have it at your next fondue party. Now, the other another sort of rule about fondue parties was that if your bread fell off the fork, you owe the entire group a bottle of wine.
Oh, now that so, I like.
You don't like the kissing one?
Well, I like
so
the kissing.
Much?
Can we do both?
You know, if you have your own fondue party, you can, you know, make your own rules.
Yes.
You know.
You can kiss, you can fork. You can do anything you want.
You could do, yeah, or buy the bottle of wine. Now, you know, when you go back to the fondue thing, I mean, it's kind of enjoying a bit of a resurgence right now. And so maybe people who are getting them now as wedding presents, the fondue sets, are actually using them. I did come across one, a new fondue set that Crate and Barrel has come out with. And it's like all sleek and fancy.
Mm.
Did I send you that link or did I fail to do that?
I have not received it.
Oh.
What is it? It's a new style fondue pot.
It's a new style fondue pot.
I have the Coalition fondue. I have the melting pot. We just did that one. Giant fork. We have tapas fondue. Is this it? The Kitchen Corner Lazy Susan fondue set?
Oh, that's a cool one. I like that one. Yeah. That one is, if I have to go to a wedding soon, that's the one I'm doing.
So this one you spin.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that.
Isn't that cool? And
stainless
look at the price.
Steel. It's only $39.99. Stainless steel fondue set includes fondue pot, fork cord. What's a fork
okay,
cord?
Okay, I think you're looking at the list price. Look at the deal price.
$9.99.
Yeah.
Lazy Susan, six bowls, six forks, six spoons, burner. No wonder people give this for a wedding gift. It's $10.
Yeah, it's the best thing ever.
But how big is that? Maybe it's like a cup.
Well, you know, usually when the most fondue recipes ask for a pound of cheese, and then that's supposed to be good for six people.
This is, you know, if you look closely, I think there's something going on here. This is like, this holds a tablespoon of cheese.
No.
This is a mouse fondue. For $10? Come on.
It's a Barbie fondue,
does it say? Yeah, it's from Kenner.
Does it have a size?
I don't know. Bosco's, you got to trust Bosco's. They've been around since 1921. It says so right there.
I trust them.
And if they
make that chocolate sauce, I trust them even more.
Open wide for Bosco. Oh, no, that's something else.
What's that?
That's Chunky.
Oh, yeah. Bosco is the chocolate syrup.
Yeah, right. I know Bosco. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I got a couple of ideas from Munchcast listeners, and one person wrote in that, hey, you know, everyone talks about great chocolate fondue, but you should try peanut butter as a fondue.
Well, how do you melt the peanut butter, though?
Well, I think anything melts at the right temperature. And then, you have those little tiny things that go under. What are those called? The little things
coasters?
You light on fire.
The little sterno
can. Thank you.
So you ladle peanut butter into the thing?
Yeah, yeah.
And you sterno it?
Yeah. I mean, perhaps. I would think that if you did it, you would have to add like maybe butter or something else.
Kirsch.
That makes it. Kirsch.
Everything's better with kirsch. I don't even know what kirsch is.
Has anyone ever gotten drunk on kirsch?
What is? Oh, I got drunk on Pernod once. You never want to do that. Liqueurs. Don't get drunk on liqueurs, kids.
Take it from me.
Take it from me, kids. You really don't want to get drunk on liqueurs.
You don't
want to
be known as a kirschaholic. We don't want to find you in a gutter somewhere with a bottle of kirsch.
Kirsch is cherry water.
Well, see, now that sounds perfectly harmless.
Clear, colorless fruit brandy, traditionally made from a double distillation of Morello cherries, a dark-colored cultivar of the sour cherry. So it's a cherry liqueur. That'd be good with a little cheese or peanut butter.
I wonder if you could add chocolate sauce and make sort of like a whole Reese's sort. Well, no, because it would be too blended together. You wouldn't get the, the consistency of one and then the other.
You know, kirsch is not traditionally sweet.
It's not?
No.
Cherries are.
Unlike cherry liqueurs and so-called cherry brandies, Kirschwasser is not sweet. The best Kirschwassers have a refined taste with subtle flavors of cherry.
No wonder I have never had it.
Yeah.
It's refined.
Refined. There's a problem.
Yeah. Hey, I want to hip you to a really cool website, friendseat.com. It's a foodie community. But they have a great piece on fondue. So if you go to friendseat.com,
by the way, blog, friends eat could also be pronounced friend seat.
It could. This is a blog. It's on, I guess it's a Blogspot, maybe. What's blog.friendseat.com, /how to fondue. And they
have fondue. Yeah. Okay.
How to fondue. Fondue.
Fondue with an E at the end. F-O-N-D-E-E.
But after reading that, I think you're going to really want to have a little fondue party because nothing brings friends closer together than, gathering around a toasty bowl of cheese
as it
melts away.
Yeah. I love fondue. It's one of those things where you forget about it, but then when you mention it, as you have several times.
It being
the name of the show and the topic, it creates a craving somewhat.
Well, I will tell you this. While I was loading, scoop after scoop of hot boiling cheese into my mouth, I thought, this is probably not so healthy. And maybe I'm like imbibing too many calories. I think I'll switch from the bread, which is, carbs, to fruit. And then I continued to scoop cupful after cupful of hot cheese. But when it was on an apple or a pear, I didn't feel quite as bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There might be something Atkinsy there about it. I don't know.
No. You could, I guess if you had the oil, I don't think there's anything diet about fondue.
Well, you can cook your meat in a meat fondue using bubbling broth.
Oh, so, that would be healthful.
Yeah, that's a little bit better. I think there's a little oil in it, but it's not the straight.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, it is. And on that note, Leo, now that I've left you,
salivating
and dying to dip, I have to go because my son's got baseball tryouts.
All right.
15.
Go to baseball tryouts, and while we're doing that, we're going to visit IKEA.
Oh, yes, the chef from IKEA. Of course, they're Swedish, but, it's not too far.
It's not too far. Cammy, we'll see you later. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
All right, Leo, thank you.
On Munchcast. Swedish cooking with Jörn.
Hi, my name is Jörn Mathiasen. We're here today to make chocolate fondue, a romantic dessert for two, a Valentine's dessert. Chocolate fondue is something that's easy to make, something you can sit and share and fall in love and be sweet and